Welcome to episode 23 of Concentrated, the podcast about all the stuff we find cool and interesting as nerds of color. I am your host, Maria, and I am here today with my co-host, Eric.
I'm here.
And Manira.
Hi, guys.
So today we are going to be talking about some of our problematic faves and what that even is. But first, it is time for Eric Does the News. Meow.
That's a cat sound.
I know.
You were switching up the sounds now? Uh-huh.
Oh. Apparently a cat walked into the studio. Meow. Okay, so guess what? Somebody died.
But it wasn't who we were trying to keep
alive. None of the people on my death list have died yet.
All right.
This one is a classic of the rock era. Eddie Money.
Oh.
He's got
that's the two tickets to paradise.
Yep,
right?
He's got two tickets to heaven now.
Ooh, that's not nice.
Dead ass bitch. That's not nice.
Oh my God.
He's dead, y'all. Died at age 70, apparently of esophageal cancer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's not a good that he smoked a lot.
Yep.
Because normally that's the esophageal cancers are normally
like, that's that rock star life.
Yeah, and then screaming and singing in mics, I'm sure, didn't help.
Yeah.
He didn't seem like a warm tea and honey kind of guy.
No.
We do have a second death, which is a little bit more low-key. Daniel Johnston, who was an artist and a songwriter. Very low-key. If you know anything about like the Austin music scene, he was very big there. He also, his artwork was pretty popular. It's very simplistic. Kurt Cobain was a fan of his artwork as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he had a, Kurt Cobain was photographed wearing one of his shirts for his Hi, How Are You brand.
So he was a younger guy.
No. Well, back then he was, born in 61, died in 2019. So that's what, 50 something.
Yeah. That's still, remember our cutoff was 70.
Yeah.
We consider young anything under anything under 70, you shouldn't be dead yet.
No, not yet.
Your boy Eddie Money, though, he didn't make that list. So
he made it to 70, so.
He was on the cusp.
Yeah, Daniel Johnston is one of those kind of, you could even go to today's topic that he was a bit of a problematic fave, but he had a lot of mental health issues, so it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
He was a, you know,
big around me. Do we know
how he died? I have not heard, but yeah.
Okay, never mind.
But he is also dead.
Mm.
Moving right along.
Oh, wait a minute. But that means that Betty White isn't dead.
She's not. No, she's still living, y'all.
She's on the list. She'll die when I tell her she dies.
Whatever. Yikes. Next story.
All right. Well, this one's for you then. We have more casting news in the Stand series. You have your Randall Flagg as Alexander Skarsgård. He is Randall Flagg in the Stand miniseries.
Oh, my. Don't give me that look, bitch. He is beautiful.
He's no Bill.
What? Ugh. Okay.
We've been through this. Bill Skarsgård is my Skarsgård.
There's also some other casting news for The Stand. You also have Whoopi Goldberg has been cast.
Who are they casting her as? Do we know yet?
She is Mother Abigail.
Yes. She's perfect.
I'm excited.
This makes me happy.
Yep.
I don't want them to typecast Alexander because he was Eric on True Blood. So he's already been a vampire.
No, I don't think it's fine. Have you read The Stand?
All right, whatever.
No, seriously though, have you read The Stand?
No.
Oh, okay. He's not a vampire.
Flag was too much for me.
Flag is not a vampire. Actually, The Stand is, you know, if you want to give up half your life for a year, but it's really good.
Is like 1,500 pages.
Right.
It is, but it's so good. I promise you, like. Mm. It was so good that I actually read it in my teens. And
I don't know.
It kept my attention as a teenager. It's a really good book.
I remember the original miniseries.
It was terrible.
It was too much.
The miniseries was terrible.
It was kind of an event, though. It was like 4 2-hour movies.
All of his miniseries are events.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that one was just a shitty one.
That was back in the day when you could make a TV movie and people would actually tune in to watch
it. Yeah. No, trust me. These two castings, like, if any of our fans have actually also given up half a year and read The Stand, You know, feel free to chime in on our social media, but it really is a great book. And these are two phenomenal castings. Now, it doesn't make me feel better about the script because, like I said, they've done it before and it wasn't done well. And that always...
They've done it twice.
Yeah. Neither time was it done well. And this is always the problem with Stephen King stories in general. Like, Misery and Needful Things are probably the two that have been best adapted.
I love Needful Things.
Oh, my gosh. Movie. It's one of my favorite movies. And it's one of my favorite stories.
I love Misery.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not? So like, those were done really well, but in general, eh. So these, trust me, these are good castings.
Yeah, and it's going to be a 10-part series.
That sounds right.
Where is it going to be at?
I don't. I think it's going to be on.
Is it CBS?
No, it might be. I think it's their app, you know, CBS Unlimited or whatever, where they have Star Trek and Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if that's where it is, then that makes me feel even better. Because if it was like old ass people, CBS,
No, and they have more relaxed standards with their apps because they can do a little bit more for censorship.
Because old people ain't getting no apps.
Yeah.
Nope.
And some more news. Apparently, we have a remake of a modern day classic.
You are not lying.
It is. Nope. 1997 film, John Woo's Face Off.
I am so excited.
I want to hate on this, but I can't because Face Off was amazing.
Because Nicolas Cage and John Travolta and no one telling them what not to do.
Oh, listen, so I said last night we had game night and I said John Travolta, Nicolas Cage, and somebody immediately said, Face Off! It's like, yes!
Yeah, that's the only thing.
I mean, it was the wrong answer.
Nobody cares. You were on my team. We still got that point.
We didn't because we had to go back and redo it.
Yeah, you had to redo it.
Whatever.
You were like, Face Off, and it was really like, what was it? Face to Face?
Yeah, it was Face to Face.
Well, this is fine. It was close enough.
So who are they casting?
They have not announced it. They just announced that it's happening. Yeah, it is happening, and it will be not John Travolta and Nicolas Cage.
Quick, who do you want to cast as? Who would you face off?
I'm gonna go a little controversial. I want it to be Face Off, but I want it to be your least favorite character from Insecure, the one that you said
who's the puppet?
Yes,
Daniel.
I want him, and I want what is it? John Denzel Washington, his Denzel Washington's son.
Ooh, the hot one.
They have the same head.
Yeah, they have the same like head and body shape. I want them to face off.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, I can't remember either of their names right now, but I've seen them in a lot of things lately, and they're both hot actors, and I would like to see them face off.
They both have the same shaved head. As soon as you said it, I was like, "Yep, no, they both have that puppet head."
Okay, here's the thing: if we're gonna brown it up, though, I like that casting. But I would also like to like maybe take I can't think of his name. Pretty boy from Crazy Rich Asians.
Henry Golding.
Henry Golding. Okay. And face him off. Oh my gosh, just insert any other random hot Asian actor right now.
Yolande Noel
is the actor's name that I'm thinking of.
Yes.
Oh, Daniel.
Yeah. Or you could swap him for what's the name who played Black Manta?
I think him better.
I think both of them have more of a similar shape because they're both in better shape than Denzel Washington.
Oh, you know,
Denzel Washington's son and Yuan have too much teeth in their mouth.
Yes.
So that would be
no. But I'm going back to mine. Yeah. You could do Henry Golding and then have John Cho because remember, then the original Face Off. Does it matter?
John Cho's a little bit older than him, though.
Yes, but if you remember when you saw the original Face Off, like they were. Nicolas Cage and John Travolta's characters were very, very different, even though they were both really, really driven.
They mention it under their tone. They're like, oh, well, you're a little chubby, so we'll do a little liposuction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I think that like that could work really well, and I would be there for it. But I wouldn't take my husband to go see it because I'd be having a moment. Have you seen the pictures of John Cho for Cowboy Bebop with the hair grown out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's getting that Spike Spiegel bush. I'm down
for my God.
It.
Mm-hmm. I literally was like scrolling last night on TV, like through the computer, and I saw it, and I was like, babe, I want to sit on his face. And I know my husband was just like, whatever, this woman is crazy. But like, literally, it's the first thing that came to mind when I saw that picture. He looks.
He does look really good.
Sorry, Eric, we're derailing your news.
But yes,
that was all of my news. Yeah, I would like to see it, and hopefully they just get the memo that it doesn't have to be two white guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2019. That's exciting.
Or it could be ladies. I don't know who I put.
That would be kind of cool.
Not ScarJo.
No.
What? You don't want Scarlett Johansson to play, you know, face off with a Japanese woman and become Japanese again?
No, I feel like we've already got that movie. Let's try something else.
Yeah.
Just mix it up, Hollywood. Just mix it up. Give us something different.
Mix it up. Give us some fun news. I mean, give us some fun movies. And bring back John Woo. I'd like to see John Woo take another crack at it.
Absolutely.
I need some doves flying.
Yeah. I need doves and dual guns and all sorts of crazy shit.
I don't get it enough.
All right, moving right along, guys. Yep.
That's the news.
Thank you, Eric, for your actual pleasant news today.
It was good.
It was good.
We ended strong.
I only killed two people.
Yeah.
And not Betty White.
That's the strength.
So you guys are cool with me killing Sean Connery, though.
Yes. No. We said we were fine with that.
I'd sacrifice a little bit. I'd give Betty White a couple more months to kill Sean Connery.
How about a couple more years?
Could we give her maybe 2 years?
No. I'll give her to the new year, and then she's back on the table.
Wow.
2020, I'm coming for you, Betty White.
That's a nice God. Stop it. She's at home drinking a tea.
Right, just chilling, living her best life.
She's at home drinking the blood of a young child to retain her age.
Ugh. All right, anyway, today we want to chat about some of our favorite artists, creators, and shows that we know are problematic as hell. I feel like it's hard when you love something, but you know aspects of it are just plain wrong. Whatever those aspects might be. So I kind of want to just start the conversation, Eric, with you and asking you like flat out, is there anything or anyone that you consider to be like one of your favorites, but you can also recognize like the issues that they create with their problematic selves?
You want me to be real?
Yeah.
Because I'll be real, real.
Yeah, be real, real.
All right. Seven strangers, one house, true story, real.
Whoa.
That's a real world joke.
I might have to get some of these pistachios after all. I'm not ready for this.
Quentin Tarantino.
Yes! Oh my God, I'm so glad you said it.
He is one of my favorite
filmmakers. I wish you guys could see my face because this is like Eric. Yeah, Eric worships at the shrine of Tarantino.
I am not above knowing that Quentin Tarantino is problematic as fuck.
Ooh. As I put my feet away.
from his weird foot fetishes to his use of the N-word. He's very, and not to mention just his filmmaking style where he kind of borrows what he wants and like in his defense a little bit though, that like he at least acknowledges like, hey, I took this from this movie or I took this from this movie. It's still kind of fucked up and that we give him a pass for it.
Yeah. Just because he said he did it.
Yeah. Tarantino is the top of my list for problematic people who still get a lot of, like still winning Oscars and I'll still go see his shit.
Well, I mean, he's still winning Oscars. We will always go see his movies. And the reality is like some of this stuff is really like just not is unspoken. Like, you know that he's problematic if you're a fan and you like read. But it's not like it's like at the top of the news. Hey, let's tell you this problematic shit that Quentin Tarantino did this week. You know? Mm. It's definitely one of those very, very weird things. But yeah, I guess I didn't even realize how problematic he was when I think about it. Like, I obviously you know about the taking stuff from movies, and his N-word usage is just
that's what completely
just because you and RZA are cool don't mean that you can just be dropping the N-bomb. Like, mm-hmm. just because your friend is okay with you using that language, like your friend doesn't speak for like the entire community. Like, no, it's not okay. But I knew nothing about this foot fetish thing.
Just go back and watch any Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
Oh, he does show a lot of feet.
For no reason.
And also, Uma Thurman's feet are not that cute. So why he kept showing her finger toes?
I don't think he wants them to be cute.
No. I feel like Uma Thurman and I could swap shoes right now because she got some big fucking feet.
She's really a big woman. Yeah. So she needs big feet. But yeah, I didn't need to see him do anything, crunch on anything.
Like,
that's not what I need.
I could see the point of that scene in Kill Bill where she's trying to wiggle her big toe, but like,
yeah,
you didn't need to keep going back to the feet thing. Like, she's walking barefoot a lot, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah.
And her feet legit look like boat oars. They're huge.
Yeah. She got Peggy Hill feet.
All right. Can we not? Like, those are her feet. She can't change them.
And she's like, that don't woman. Highlight them. Like,
she's not highlighting them.
Tarantino's highlighting them, yeah.
Because he's got a thing for her.
But you don't think that like she's got the room to be like, hey, Quentin,
no,
you know I got
it.
You know I feel some way about my feet. Mm-mm. Like, focus on my ostrich ass face, but don't put the camera on my feet.
No.
Because she looks like an ostrich.
She does. Yes.
I love her as an actress, but whew.
All right. She's got white lady face.
Listen, yeah. I'm very surprised at Eric's first entry into this conversation. I'm very proud of him, but I was really, really hoping that there would be something about Mr. Del Toro that he might find problematic.
Nope. He is a perfect human being. He is a sweet little Mexican cherub of a man.
So what's going to happen when he gets caught up in this Me Too movement?
He won't. You listen to anyone that's worked with him and they love him.
What he hasn't died yet.
Yeah, I was gonna
you
say.
Know it always comes out when he
Tarantino,
died.
On the other
I'm
hand,
coming
yeah,
for
there's
you, GDT. That's Why? All I'm no. saying. Because he can't be perfect. He is kind of perfect.
Mr. Rogers
and can't
says
be.
So.
Yep.
Mr. Yeah. Rogers is
you can come
blueprint.
For Mr. Rogers, you can come for Guillermo del Toro. Nope.
Yeah.
They're good.
That's fair. All right. So is there anybody else or anything else that really stands out for you specifically on that list?
Like I said, Tarantino stands out for me because I know a lot of his bad things. Rob Zombie's kind of also in the same boat for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I know he's racist.
Yeah, he's said some things in the past yeah. that I do not agree with, and his filmmaking is hit or miss for me.
Yeah.
But, he's been a little problematic in the past. And, big shocker, Eminem. Eminem is problematic as fuck.
Okay, maybe I'm just
go
behind.
Listen to Eminem lyrics.
Come on in, give us some of that. Like, what?
I mean,
what did you?
Yeah, are you talking about just the incessant need to kill Kim?
No, I'm talking about his homophobic slurs that he used
yes.
constantly in music.
Yes, in the beginning of his music, I will yeah. say that. Yes.
But along that vein, and I am not defending that behavior, then almost like the first 15 to 20 years of hip hop are all problematic.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, no. But nowadays, a lot of musicians, if you tell them that, they go, "Oh, okay, that's fucked up. I'm not going to do that again." He still does it.
I haven't listened to any.
He also
recent
still
Eminem
uses
thing,
a lot
so.
Of like. He uses the word retarded a lot, which is not cool.
He
in
does
2019.
Do that. Yes.
Yeah,
he does do that.
Yeah,
I will give.
Can't
that.
Give him a pass for that no. one.
And not to be too topical, but you could also throw Dave Chappelle on that fire.
Oof, let's.
Yeah,
let's do that.
So I have not watched the new special. I'm going to reserve comment because I know that from what I understood, just like, you know, reading little blips and blurbs on social media, he said a lot of very, very problematic and controversial things in his latest stand-up.
Being funny. That's what I'd like to do. Like, can we get down to what's being funny and then what's being problematic and just saying things out of your mouth?
Yeah. Like, see, that's my thing. I haven't watched the new special, but I noticed that's kind of the new trend in comedy. Like, you can be a comedian and be a safe comedian and not purposely offend people, or you can go all out and just say, oh, well, if this triggers you, I'm putting up air quotes, you can't see them. If you're triggered by this, then I'm going to do it on purpose just to piss you off. Like, being contrarian and, you know, and problematic on just for the sake of being problematic and contrarian, I kind of feel like it's a dick move. Like, if that's the only way you can make people laugh is by offending another group of people, then you're probably not that funny to begin with.
But I think the problem is that, like, that's been a main component of stand-up comedy at least in the U.S. for at least 35 to 40 years.
Yeah.
Because if you're telling me, and again, I haven't heard it, so I'm kind of speaking from an uneducated perspective at this moment.
No, no, no.
Because I don't know what's been said in the most recent specials that he's done. Like, I haven't seen either one of the Netflix specials. I haven't seen Chris Rock's Netflix special. Like, there's some of these I just have not seen. But it's no different than, honestly, what Eddie Murphy was doing back in the late 80s,
yeah.
early 90s, what, you know, Richard Pryor was doing. Like, a lot of comedians, both black and white, have used the platform of comedy. And
no,
I'm saying comedy.
There's a lot of comedians that have built their entire career
on just
saying
some really shitty things about other people.
But then at one point, what point do we say, okay, but that's not okay anymore?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it was okay back then, but shouldn't we have evolved as people to realize that maybe it's not funny and maybe we shouldn't be doing that?
Oh, we should, but we are not saying that we don't support it until we stop supporting it. So, like, that's a whole, like, that in itself could be a whole conversation.
Yeah, like I said, my whole thing is
we keep giving them our money.
To the point where your whole special is based on just pissing people off because you think people are too sensitive and you want to piss them off.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a shitty thing to do, and, you know. There are plenty of people out there that can be funny and not have to purposely go after a target of people that you know is going
on. Oh, you mean how like Bill Burr likes to consistently attack
Bill Burr
women?
is a perfect example of that.
And I threw his name out there because somebody I know is so excited to go see him.
It's not me.
It's not me.
They know who I'm talking about.
Spicy pie.
Anyway, okay, so yeah, I can definitely see where that would be a real issue. And I mean, it's the same thing with music. Like, there's so many instances of just people doing that. Like, hey, I'm just going to say some offensive shit, and I know it's offensive, and I don't care. I'm going to say it because entertainment, art, whatever.
Yeah, but you have the right
First
not
Amendment.
To Yeah, but you have the right not to listen to it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So, Manera, who's up there on your personal list?
I have one, and it hurts my heart to say, but Michael Jackson. It hurts.
I would say, say it a little louder for the people in the back.
Michael Jackson, sorry.
But he made Thriller.
I know, and that's what hurts me. Like, I've listened to all of his music as a little girl and growing up, and it just, you know.
So you believe.
I do.
That he was 100% guilty of the things that.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I don't. I am one of those people that believes genuinely that where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
And while maybe all of the allegations were not true, and there were some folks that were definitely like trying to get some money.
You should, one, like believe accusers to begin with and then investigate.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the fact it, we were talking about this, before we aired, and I think that Michael Jackson is a great example because he is beloved by people of every walk of life.
Yeah.
But yeah, that doesn't change the fact that some of the things that he was accused of doing, even some of the things that he did that were known to have been done, were just problematic as hell. Like
the house he built, alone.
You mean
not
the amusement park that he built?
Yeah, you built an amusement park. What? Why?
That slowly turned into a creepy, like if you go back and look at like all the, like he had doors that led to nowhere and then doors that led to other rooms that's the stuff that you hear about in like a murder house that was built, not in.
A Scooby-Doo episode.
Yeah. That.
You pull off the mask and it's Michael Jackson touching kids.
Oh, wow. I can't square that away, you know?
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have to.
No. No, you shouldn't. But then the question becomes, at what point do you separate the person from the art?
I am not that person. So I have to stop cold turkey. Like completely.
So you no longer listen to Michael Jackson music?
I try not to, no. Like when it comes on, I turn. Like when we were talking about with R. Kelly, and also I associate that with Aaliyah. I don't listen to Aaliyah music anymore. I don't listen to R. Kelly music anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
So you don't look at Aaliyah as a victim?
No. I do, but then also by playing his music because he produced her music, that's still going towards
him. I see what you're saying. So you feel, well, I can help you with that because if you listen to like her last two albums, he had nothing to do with them.
I can't.
Like More Than a Woman, R. Kelly was out her system by then. She was with Dame Dash.
But I can't. Yeah. I can't personally. Some people can. I can't.
No, but I get what you're saying.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Because I love all of her music.
Yeah.
So, nope. It's just better for me. Cold turkey.
Yeah. Yeah, mine is, and it hurts me as I'm wearing my normal gear, which is most of my closet these days. But mine is Joanne K. Rowling.
Is that what the J is for?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Her name is Joanne. And it hurts me to my core.
It's a very white woman.
To say it out loud.
She is a white woman.
She's a freaking British white woman.
No, I mean, like if somebody was like, what does the J stand for? I've never seen her. No, she looks exactly what her name sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought I wanted it to be Josephine.
Right, or something, or like Josie, or just something different. Nope. Joanne.
Josie? That is British.
Too much spice.
Basic
on that
ass
name.
Joanne.
Yeah.
And it hurts me to my heart because I absolutely love all things Potter. The good or the bad, the good and the bad, because like there are definitely components within the story of itself that can be problematic, and definitely some of the additional writings and things like that. But J.K. Rowling as a person, I will give her credit for donating literally half of her, either half or more than half of her fortune to charities. That's a beautiful thing. But that does not excuse away your fucking white privileged feminist ass not understanding intersectional feminism, not giving a shit about women that are that don't look like you, and also your appropriation of minority cultures for the sake of advancing your story, your appropriation of LGBTQ culture, or at least the pieces of it that were convenient to get books sold, and your lack of support or for all of these marginalized communities that your story is supposed to be talking about how we should lift up and this and that and the third. Like, get the fuck out of here. You're a garbage human being. It hurts me to say it because Potter all day, but I need her to go sit the fuck down somewhere.
Or learn. Like, you like reading. You, I mean, literature is there. Just
yeah. The, well, I mean, it has to go,
educate yourself.
It has to go to the point of, like, if you are problematic and someone calls you out on it and you choose to do nothing about it, then I don't want to support you anymore. But if you're problematic and you get called out on it and you genuinely try to fix your behavior, then I'm gonna. It's gonna take some time, but I'm gonna give you another chance and see how long you continue your, you know, your corrected behavior.
Here's the thing: just shut the fuck up.
She's a white woman.
Right. Yeah. And that's the problem.
Not to mention, Twitter has become the worst thing for some people. Like, if you have the audience to go out there and say whatever the fuck you want, look at our president.
Yeah.
Some people don't need Twitter because it's just going to get you in more trouble.
It just gets you in trouble.
She got off of Twitter.
Did
finally.
She?
Oh,
no. Yeah.
Finally. But this is after the official statement on casting Johnny Depp. And the thing about it is...
Ooh, speaking of problematic.
Right. You know, but the thing about it is, from a logical perspective, I can completely understand what she was trying to say. However, when you are dealing with an issue that is so emotionally charged as domestic violence, you better approach that shit right or shut the fuck up. And the way that she handled that and the casting and everything else was just absolutely ridiculous.
I don't understand why she couldn't just have him turn into Johnny Depp and then turn back into Graves. Like, after all of...
Yeah, turn back into Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. After everything that you heard people saying, we're not okay with this casting, the easiest way to do it is he won't turn out of Graves. Like, he won't.
Yeah.
So this is what we have to do.
I was going to say, it's sci-fi fantasy. You can do it with a single line of dialogue. They did it in The Matrix when the original woman who played...
It was the Oracle.
Yeah, when she died in the sequels, they literally fixed that with a line of dialogue.
One line.
Yeah.
It's like, I can be anything. But here's the thing. It's not like you needed Johnny Depp to begin with. Like, I get it. It was great. Like, ooh, Johnny Depp. And then everything came out afterwards. Like, ooh, Johnny Depp. Colin Farrell is a great actor. And he would have been perfect to play Grindelwald just as well. Like,
yeah.
Like, we didn't need...
Like, Colin Farrell can do bad guy and
right.
good guy.
We didn't need...
Bullseye.
Right. Yeah. We didn't need Johnny Depp to begin with. So that's one thing over there. Like, you know, saying that you never, like, retconning Hermione Granger. And fun fact, I love the fact that she retconned it to say that Hermione Granger should have been a black girl. But then check your own writing, because there is a scene, I believe it in Prisoner of Azkaban, that she in the book references Hermione peeking around a tree, and it's her white face. Now, if you had said her pale face, as in she was scared and pale, that makes sense. But you can't say that she's a black girl, or that you never said that she was white, when there is a line that anybody can point to in Prisoner of Azkaban where you said she was white. Like, so at that point, you were retconning it, not from a sense of it was the right thing to do, or that you really wanted diversity. You retconned it from a place of, well, this is how we cast it in this new production, and I need to be able to make sure these tickets get sold. And so I need to make it seem like I was always cool with it.
I'm not trying to fuck up the bag.
Yeah, yeah, you can't do that. And even, like, the biggest problem for me with her is you choose to stay ignorant. And you can speak up when you feel something about something, but you can't speak up to say, hey, my bad, like with how she portrayed Native Americans in her Pottermore writings about Ilvermorny. That is some problematic shit. Like, it goes back to the, oh, natives couldn't make their own school of magic to teach themselves and keep their magic going. We needed this Irish bitch to come make a school for us so that we could all, oh.
You know that it's needed because white hands, they've got to save
the brown. They've got to save us all brown. So for me, she's the, like, I don't have a lot of favorite things, but anyone that knows me or has listened to any of this podcast knows that my thing is Potter. And I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. But this bitch is problematic. And
if we're doing Potter, then Snape's pretty problematic too.
Oh, yeah. No, but he's a fictional character.
He problematic. I love him, but he problematic.
It's not like you were saying that that the actor that portrayed Snape was problematic.
I don't know if he was.
Alan Rickman?
As far as I know, I never heard
not
anything.
Not to my knowledge, but again, he is dead. So could come out and shock us all. But
I feel like if something was going to come out about him, though, it would have come out by now.
It's not like Johnny Depp, who was problematic when they cast him.
Yeah.
Because even before the domestic abuse stuff, go back to his history of casting. He was in The Lone Ranger as a Native American character.
Yes, he was.
He could have easily said, no, I'm not Native American. Okay. You guys should cast a Native American. Right. I'll play someone else in the movie if you want me to be in the movie. No, he went ahead and threw on that makeup, put a goddamn crow on his head, and played a Native American for 2 hours plus.
Also, if you want to go back into the lore and my mom's theories, she also thinks he killed River Phoenix, but that's neither here nor there.
Ooh, your mom eating these pistachios?
Mama Paige with a hot take. But she's not the only one.
I know.
I have heard there are a lot of people that feel like he was intimately involved in River Phoenix's death.
Listen, just like Mary-Kate and Ashley were intimately involved in Heath Ledger's death.
Ooh.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah, I believe one of them gave him the sleeping pills that he OD'd on.
Ugh. So, I mean, I think that all of us has been kind of a circle of trust moment. We've all talked about some folks that we think are problematic as hell, but here is the main question. And I think Manera is the only one that actually said it, that, you know, she knows it's problematic and it's cold turkey for her, so she just let it go. But how willing are we to try and even separate the artist from the artwork? And so, like, for myself, fuck J.K. Rowling as a human being, but I'm still gonna Potter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's, I don't have that connection, or I, for myself, I can't disconnect from this thing that I love the way that you've been able to disconnect from Michael Jackson, because they're problematic. But, like, for example, R. Kelly, I had no problem. Like, oh, you're a pedophile and you basically rape little girls?
On camera.
I can't bang with you. Right. And so, like, is it that we struggle to disconnect in general from the artist from the art, or the creator from the art? Or do we subconsciously have, like, this hierarchy of the things that are problematic, and which ones are, like, point of no return, like, I just can't fuck with you no more, versus the ones where you can acknowledge that they're problematic, but the issue for you isn't so problematic that you can't then still appreciate
the art? I think it goes back to, like, where that piece of art and artist land emotionally for you. Like, a lot of people, you could say, oh, well, I love the piano, but I don't fuck with Roman Polanski. Mm-hmm. So not many people are going to go, oh, okay, well, I'll just never watch the piano or Roman Polanski movies. You can say the same thing for R. Kelly, but when Step in the Name of Love comes on to the Cookout, are you dancing?
I'm not. But to your point, there are plenty of people that are like,
that still have that on their Cookout playlist.
Yes. Here's the thing. For me, it's have they gone and done the research and educated themselves in what they're being problematic for? If they have, like you were saying, I'm willing to give them a pass.
I'll give you a probationary period. Right.
If you
still
have
fuck
not,
up, then you're done.
If you are crying wolf, if you are crying, oh, woe is me, it's them against me, and I didn't know, and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know now, but you're still claiming victim.
Yep.
Then no.
If
I'm
you
over
can't
it.
Understand that your actions or, you know, hurt someone or hurt a group, and you still continue to do it, then, you know,
right.
Sorry, you're dead to me.
But I think that is the way we treat people in our lives, too. right? Or do we just allow people in our lives to be shitbirds and we just let that go?
I think it depends. Speaking for myself, I think it's very, very easy for me to delineate between shitbird people that physically hurt other people versus shitbird people that might hurt someone's feelings or, you know, just maybe like tone deaf to how they navigate the world and how they navigate the world affects other people.
But have you told them? Like, if you
no, no, no. I mean, so in my personal life, I have a very strong personality. So if I don't fuck with you, I just don't fuck with you, and you'll know I don't fuck with you, right? Like, you'll never have to wonder where you stand with me. But I think that for like how I look at my faves and how I look at like celebrities and things like that, like, I know that for me, people who use their power to physically harm, like use their privilege and use their power to physically harm others, that is like the point of no return. Nothing you do will I ever, ever support. Versus there are people that I think are problematic in not understanding race relations and not understanding these things or that things and blah, blah, blah. And it's not lip service, but it's almost for me because I personally think that most people are tone deaf and kind of like unaware, whether intentionally or unintentionally, about how they look at people, cultures and things like that affect other people, that's just more of a normal people thing versus like, I straight up rape women or, you know, take advantage like the Harvey Weinstein. Like, I take advantage of being able to do what I can do to rape women and force myself on women, or like, yeah. Or I am abusive physically. If you know that what you're
going to say is going to, you know, it's going to offend someone and you say it anyway, knowing it's going to offend someone.
Right.
That's different than saying it and not knowing, you know, and then what getting action
some,
will come.
Right. And then getting some pushback later and somebody being like, yo, that was fucked up that you said that.
Yeah,
and
you shouldn't say that. Don't look at me. Don't
respond.
That pistachio is amazing. Fuck you.
But you know what I mean? And like, yes, not respond. Like, it's a very different thing. Like in Rowling's case, for example, she has done some problematic things around the appropriation, like with the Native American thing for Ilvermorny. She never came back and tried to justify what she did. She never was like, oh, nah, it's completely okay that I just wore your culture for the sake of my story. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if she was saying a big fuck you to Native Americans in that sense. But what still makes it problematic for me is that you had the resources to not make the mistake in the first place. You did. Fine. But even after you made the mistake and it was brought to your attention, you never came back and acknowledged that you made a mistake. And that's a problem for me. But that is different than if she didn't not only didn't acknowledge that it was a problem, but then was like, nah, fuck you. It's cool. Like, I do what I want. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same thing. And I think that's part of the reason. And this could literally, like, you know, let's be self-aware. Maybe I'm just trying to rationalize a reason that I shouldn't stop loving what I love.
Well, you like Harry Potter in general it's one of those things. It's not like Star Wars. I love Star Wars. If something came out today that they were like, oh, well, George Lucas is wildly racist, I wouldn't stop loving Star Wars because I know he's not the only person that touches Star Wars. Mm-hmm. He's not the only writer. Like, there is literally almost 40 years of backstory with other people contributing. With Harry Potter, it's kind of just one person. Like, I got to understand the differences in, like, the movies because you have different directors, you have different writers that are writing the screenplays. But, like, J.K. Rowling writes the books. She writes all the Pottermore stuff. It is one pen. So if something came out tomorrow and J.K. Rowling was dropping the N-bomb on people, how would you justify that? Would you be like, well, I'm done with Harry Potter?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at that point, because there are some things that are just, there's no lack of understanding that the N-word is not okay. Like that's the thing. Like, yeah. That would be the thing, and that would hurt my heart. But at that point, I don't know if it would be that I would no longer support what I've loved, or rather I wouldn't support anything new that she did.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Like, where does that line go? It's a slippery slope.
It is.
Anything that she did past it would still, anything that you supported, it would still be going to her. So that's why I do cold turkey, because I don't want to support you, period. So whether you put out new stuff, the old stuff you still get money towards anyways. So,
but that also goes to a bigger question, because I think that as nerds of color, we know that none of this shit was made for us in the first place.
Right.
No.
So that then becomes a slippery slope, because in its core, with most of the things that we nerd out for, they were never for us. Mm. And so there's probably something problematic with all of them that we're just not aware of. Mm-hmm. So then do we just stop nerding out?
Well, I don't know. Some people will justify it. They'll find a way to justify it. Some people will let their actions speak louder than their justification. And like, say you wanted to listen to R. Kelly and you went on, you know, iTunes and bought an R. Kelly song. Would you then go and take the same dollar you spent on an R. Kelly song and donate that to victims of abuse?
You should.
Yeah.
I think that, like, I'm not saying that is the solution, but I think that kind of, I don't know, it's not justification, but I feel like you could maybe listen to it with a little less heavy heart, knowing that you've at least helped someone and not just helped R. Kelly.
Yeah.
But don't help R. Kelly.
Don't help R. Kelly. Yeah, if you
fuck
can.
Fuck R. Kelly.
Yeah, if you can, say fuck R. Kelly and don't listen to anything that he puts out. But I don't know. Some people would say that's justification. Some people would say that's stupid and not justification at all. I don't claim to have all the answers. I'm just saying.
And inherently, we're all flawed. Like, we can sit here and have our attitudes and, you know, turn our noses up at folks that we know still love something that's super problematic. Like, I know that there are people that are in my contacts right now that are people that I communicate with and consider friends or family that still fuck with R. Kelly. They'll make
look at people lesser known, like Orson Scott Card, the writer of Ender's Game.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He is a notorious homophobe.
Oh, see, that's just not okay.
But he still made Ender's Game, and he made, there's another series that he put out where they ended up putting out a game for Xbox that was amazing, but is based on his works. And, you know, when you buy that game, you have to take into account that you are giving money to someone who has openly declared war on the U.S. government for their support of LGBTQ people.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. So where do you draw the line, and how do you, I don't know, how do you justify the things that you love when the creators of those things are terrible people from time to time?
Yeah, and it's crickets, because there's no right answer to this. And I think that it really does boil down to, you know, personally, you need to find a way to, number one, justify for yourself, but also try to, like, do some good in the world for that shitbird that isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good talk, guys.
Right. Like, as we're wrapping this up, like, it makes me feel really sad, because this sucks. How about we just not be shitbird people?
Well, that's across the board.
Yeah.
It's everyone.
Yeah. And that seems to be a harder thing to happen. But also, JK, like, just fucking apologize and stop being
together.
A dumb bitch. Like,
I love that you're like, but JK Rowling, I want to love you. So
I don't want to love her. I don't want to love her, but I want to continue to love what she's created.
You
want
to be able to love Harry Potter
and not feel bad about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to, I just don't. So get your shit together.
Yeah.
She might not.
She has no, listen, them billions with the B's. Nah, she really doesn't have any reason not to.
No.
Listen, you come from being poor and then you're a billionaire.
That still doesn't mean you get to say whatever the fuck
you
want.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, I mean, why would she look back? Why?
Right.
Why?
No, you're not wrong.
That's why most of the billionaires, when they die, you find out that they had islands where they would just ship out little poor kids
and secret families
and molest them and all that good stuff,
or
and
hunt
murder them
and do
much fun.
All right, well, enough with this shit. Now that we've aired our dirty little problematic secrets,
time for you guys to
it is time for Manira's grab bag. Pew pew.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so apparently we had a Facebook question from Kevin. Sorry, Kevin. I did not see it, and I apologize for that. But his topic was, it was a topic of discussion. It says, sci-fi shows and or movies. Are we happy with the advancement of minorities in them? Not in the crew or aliens. I think some franchises don't respond well to any minorities, especially females, as main heroes, i.e. Star Wars. What are your favorites? What are your favorite shows? Star Trek, Space Nine, Firefly, blah, blah, blah. Do we have any that stand out as...
I mean...
Is he asking... Yes, with minorities as leads and or...
As far as shows or movies?
I mean, he said shows or movies.
Yes, yeah. he makes a great point with Deep Space Nine, because Deep Space Nine was the first Star Trek where the captain was black. Mm-hmm. He also makes a good point with Firefly / Serenity, because the second lead was a black woman, Gina Torres.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she wasn't, you know, the damsel in distress. She's not. Yeah, she basically ran the goddamn ship.
Yeah, she's a badass.
Yeah. I would say an instant standout for me, which even goes back to the 70s, is Alien and the Alien series. Like, that was one of the first series that you had a female lead.
Yep.
So gorgeous.
And you didn't really know she was the lead until the end of the movie, because she's really the only one that survives. Her and the cat, Jones.
Right.
Jonesy. Yep. But they literally based an entire franchise around her character.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Same deal. And I don't think we've gone far enough to make sure that POCs aren't just the aliens, because we still see a lot of that.
Yeah.
Across.
I mean, even look at Star Wars. When you had a black stormtrooper and a female lead, the internet lost their fucking shit.
Yeah, it was the end of the world. So there's still a lot of work to do there. But I do believe that as we're starting to get new creators to the table, as we're starting to see a little bit more of an intentionality around inclusion, I think that we'll see it get a little better.
Well, I mean, there's already rumors, like, and one of my least favorite rumors that's popped up this week is that Marvel Studios is looking to cast.
Don't finish that statement.
No. I just want to go on record about saying, one, that's bullshit, but two, we need to get to a point where we're not just like race swapping for the sake of inclusion.
Yeah.
Yep. There are plenty of great characters that are people of color that were them to begin with.
Right.
Like, we don't have to just make Spider-Man black. We don't have to make Captain America black.
Or just create new characters.
Yeah. There are.
Like, because there are some that already exist.
Yeah.
Right.
But also, you can create some.
Look at
some
Static
more.
Shock. Static Shock was a completely original character.
I would love it if they did Static Shock.
Yeah. People love him. He is included on the Young Justice show, and he's become a main character.
I love this cartoon. Yeah.
I wasn't so much a fan, but like, an example that comes to mind for me is like Silk. Like, yes, she has spider powers.
She is in the spider family, but yes, she was a completely new character.
Yeah, she's a completely new character that is not Peter Parker or some spinoff of him. So, like, you can even do something like that.
There are times when it makes sense, like, as bad as the new Fantastic Four movie was, casting Johnny Storm as a black character, it didn't do anything to the story. It didn't help or hurt the story.
No.
It was normal. That should be where we're at. Like,
yeah,
when you're casting these characters, just because the character was white in the comics for 50 years, you can cast a black character or Asian or Latino, but like, you can have that character be a different race without making a big deal about it.
I liked that
should be
family.
Normal. Yeah, I liked that. Again, that whole movie shit the bed in the third act. But yeah, like, don't just change the race of the character to say that we're changing the race of the character. Not to mention the rumor about the X-Men stuff, like Magneto being a Holocaust survivor is kind of a really big part of his backstory.
Well, here's the thing. In fairness, if you know your history, you know that while no one ever seems to talk about it, and in fairness, because if you look statistically speaking, the number was so small, there were blacks that ended up in concentration camps and went through the same horrific things that the Jews went through. But again, like, that was one for every 100,000 per se. So if you really wanted to stretch it, you could make it that. But to your point, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
One of the main things about his backstory is that he was a Jewish child who survived the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't need to let's not retcon origins to make it work to include diversity. Let's create new characters that are diverse and show that it should be normalized.
And it works. Like, look at Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Oh, I'm so excited about that show.
Amazing book, getting a show, completely original character.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so we need more of that.
Yeah.
Also, all right, thanks, Kevin.
Fun fact, that black stormtrooper and girl Jedi is the reason that I started watching Star Wars. Just ooh, that yep, one. So just saying. So next, we have an email from Marie. We know her as Ivy. What up, girl?
Hey, girl.
She says, what a great problematic topic. Hee hee. That was her hee hee. At the top of this list for her is Chris Brown. Ooh, girl. Ooh. Girl, what are we doing?
Yikes.
I have his new album, Indigo, on repeat. That's a lot of music because he did a lot of songs on that album, I believe. She said, I skip a couple of songs on there, laugh out loud, but I keep replaying Come Together and Emerald Burgundy and Yo, excuse me, miss. That is not on that new album. That is a very old
and it slaps.
One. She said, sorry, it's a classic. To be clear, I do not condone domestic violence and what happened between him and Riri is awful, but his music is just so good. Love the pod. Keep going. So basically, she is basically echoing the same thing that we said, which is, no, you don't think so?
No, she is. I just have a controversial stance on Chris Brown. And I know it's controversial because...
Chris Brown?
No, because I think that it, you know, 100% domestic violence is not okay. Mm-hmm. But as all of the details came out of that situation, mm-hmm, I don't like the fact that it was glossed over that he wasn't the one that initiated the physical violence.
I think it was glossed over in the white community. I don't think it was ever glossed over in the black community.
And I think that could be part of the reason that for some people in minority communities,
yeah,
he has been given a pass. Because I grew up in a household where my mama and my daddy taught me, like, if you don't want nobody to put their hands on you, don't put your hands on nobody.
Right.
Because at the point that you start swinging, well, somebody's going to swing back.
Right.
And I just, that always kind of resonated with me. And being someone that was in an abusive relationship at one point in my life, like, I never put my hands on anybody. Like, mm-hmm, once I was attacked, I would defend myself.
Right.
But that's not the same thing as, you know, just going around just like, yeah, I'm just going to keep instigating. And then when you put your hands on me, like, oh, no. And I know that some people will have the stance of, well, you know, there's never a reason to put your hands on a woman. Yeah, as long as she's keeping her hands to herself, because I have sons. And, you know, I hope that they would, in the event that if a young woman tried to put their hands on them, that they would just restrain her, call the police, and protect themselves, because that's not a battle that they're going to win.
Right.
But we also need to teach our young women that it is not okay. The same way it's not okay for them to put their hands on you, it is not okay for you in a fit of rage or anything else to put your hands on anyone else. Keep your goddamn hands to yourself. So
yeah,
for me, I don't find Chris Brown as problematic in that sense, because I felt like that was a domestic altercation, mm-hmm, and that wasn't straight up domestic violence. And that those are two different things to me, because just the upbringing that I had and people that I know, like, I've literally seen the difference between a domestic altercation and folks just throwing hands.
Which is probably why him and Rihanna kept dating each other, well, after the fact.
Well, there's also that. But I can also see how people would find him problematic.
No. Aside from the domestic violence,
he's got other issues
yeah, that boy, are problematic.
That boy crazy. He needs, yeah, a therapist.
No. He needs a therapist. His mother needs a therapist. Oof. They need a therapist.
They're messy.
And he needs more than just yes people.
Yeah, yeah.
But talk. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and also, Ivy girl, you know, listen to Chris. Enjoy that album, all right? We're
it's
not going to judge
girl.
You.
I have no history or backstory with Chris Brown, so I have no dog in this fight.
You just like saying Chris Brown.
Chris Brown.
Yeah, so, I mean, any final thoughts, guys?
People be problematic.
Yeah. I don't know. Try to enjoy the things you love, but also look into the creators of the things that you love to see.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, and choose how you spend your money wisely.
Yes.
That's another thing. Because
if you know that the person that you are supporting is doing terrible things and you still support them, that's on you.
Yes.
And also, you can always do the bootleg version of things if you don't want to give them your money, but you still want to enjoy it.
But you're giving them your time, which is, you know, true. Ask anyone, that's more valuable than your money.
Listen, I'm just saying, if you want to read Potter and not give that problematic bitch any of your money, all of the original books are included in your Kindle Unlimited subscription for free. Like, you don't have to pay to download them or anything else.
Or you can go to a library.
And get them
support,
for free.
Support libraries.
Yeah, go support to the library,
they're
please.
Great. They have more than books, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And libraries are not problematic, by the way.
No.
Some of the people that go there, maybe. But
sidebar, didn't you guys go somewhere yesterday?
We did. We went to the Small Press Expo in Rockville, Maryland.
We did.
How was that?
And it was awesome.
It was so great.
I bought a whole bunch of stuff.
I know. I saw. I want to dive into that.
We'll put up some pictures this week of some of the grabs and also some of the creators that we met.
Yeah, we met a lot of great people up there.
We really did. And funny enough, what I was excited about was a lot of the POC creators that we met would like super love to like come on and just talk about what it's like being creators of color. And I think that that would be an amazing episode.
Yeah, they didn't
episode.
Just shush us away.
No,
like, thanks for your money. Get the fuck out of my
right.
face.
Right. We had like whole ass conversations and it was crazy because the place was packed.
Yeah, it was stupid packed.
It was like all of the people at BlurredCon, like not representation wise, but like the volume of
all
people.
All in one room.
In one room.
Oof.
It was
packed. It was hot. And just like any other con, some folks need to remember to put on deodorant.
What's funky? You guys smelled smells.
Slap on a little stank stick because it's still summer, y'all.
Yeah, it was rough. But one of the things that I noticed, and I don't know if Eric noticed this as much, but it stuck out to me glaringly. There were so many trans creators.
Yeah.
And it was
beautiful. Well, that's one of the main reasons that SPX is so popular is because it's all about independent writers. And people, a lot of times, you know, now it's getting a little bit more diversity, but sometimes you have to self-publish if you want your story to get out there because big publishers aren't going to pick up your story.
That
so,
sucks.
Yeah, it sucks, but it also is great that there is a forum like the Small Press Expo where you can self-publish or you can go through a smaller publishing house and get your story printed so that, you know, you might affect someone who is in a similar situation.
Yeah.
Or someone might resonate with your story.
The fact that you have to self-publish, yet we are getting remakes of old shit that we already have.
Don't you bad talk Face Off.
No.
It can be amazing.
Not that. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about it was, like, while it obviously wasn't as diverse as BlurredCon, there was a lot of diversity in the room.
Yeah.
And there was a significant amount of diversity amongst the creators. Like every aisle that you went through, there was at least one or two POCs, male or female or trans, that had a booth or were working, you know, with other publishers in their group.
The
it was
LGBTQIA community was very well represented.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was really, really awesome.
Also, shout out to Corey from The Canopy. I met up with him as he was walking out. I was walking in.
I was very sad.
Yeah. He, unfortunately, like all of us, have a day job and had to get to work. But it was nice to finally meet him in person, even though we've been friends for a long time. But yeah, it was cool to meet up in person.
Well, we still need to make that hookup happen, Corey, because you didn't even get to meet the best part of the podcast, which is not Eric.
Right. Us.
Disagree.
It's the rest of us. So.
It's the people that you talk to on Facebook all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Facts. So. Whole ass conversations. Also, though, shout out to some of our friends from Super Art Fight who had booths and were selling amazing merch.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially Chris Scott, General Storm Sketch, who does Two-Ton Rock God.
Yep.
If you have not checked out his book, it is amazing. It is all about rock and roll and Afrofuturism. And it's a gorgeous book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so pretty.
Check that shit out.
And
Michael Bracco, who I believe is SpaghettiKiss.com.
Mm-hmm.
I know on Instagram, you can follow his works at SpaghettiKiss.
His creator's book is also
His book creator's
beautiful,
is
beautiful,
awesome.
Beautiful. And he has a shit ton of cool ass like.
Yeah, he does custom apparel. Yeah.
Just literally, Eric will add all this stuff in the show notes, but y'all like really got to check it out. It was great to go out there.
Yep.
Fun.
Yeah, sorry you missed it, Maneer. You would have loved it.
We had a lot going on yesterday. Like, I barely made it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, with that said, we want to thank you all for listening. As always, if you like this episode, please rate us, drop a review, and subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends, all that good stuff. Follow us on Twitter or Instagram for updates on episode drops. And links to just shit we like. Our handle on both is Concentrated Pod. You can also send us questions, topics you'd like us to cover, and feedback at either our email address, concentratedpodcast@gmail.com, or you can drop us a message on our Facebook page. Like, we will respond to that as well.
Yep. Facebook.com/concentratedpodcast.
Yep. And then lastly, you can leave us a voicemail. I'm sad nobody left a voicemail this week.
Did you say Instagram?
I did.
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, you calm down, Facebook.
It's Instagram, it's over here. Twistagram, okay? It's just Twistagram.
What's both that? Of
them. Is that some new shit?
I'm feeling fancy. But yeah, lastly, you can leave us a voicemail at 301-431-4393. Again, that's 301-431-4393.
Yeah, don't let Ivy be the only one.
Yeah, I can't just be Ivy.
Yeah, you want to hear your voice on the show? We'll play it.
Yup. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's it for this week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Have a good week.